The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org.
Welcome to this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast. I am your host, Roger, along with my co-host, Jason. And today on this episode, we're going to talk about sickness and death as it relates to the pandemic that's going on around us. But before we get into our topic, like we always like to do to get to know each other a little bit better, I'm going to ask you a question, Jason, and this is probably a softball question for you, but then tell our audience, who is the most influential theologian that you studied and why?
Oh man, the most influential theologian who I've studied and why? Now, I don't know if you're trying to get me to think back to my dissertation and say it was James Owen, because I spent so much time with him. but I would say probably R.C. Sproul. Growing up, he was the one that I read early on in life, and he really laid the foundation for me. My brother had kind of fed him to me so that I could become a little reformed clone of his. No, not exactly. But so very early on at a young age, I would watch his videos and listen to his teaching and also read his books. And so I would say that R.C. Sproul was probably the most influential in laying foundation for me theologically.
Was there any specific book of his that you remember that was like the turn the light bulb on for you?
It's probably a cliche, and maybe everyone who likes Dr. Sproul probably would say the same thing. I'm not sure, but the holiness of God, that was life transforming for me. I mean, if you can imagine, I went from reading Max Lucado to R.C. Sproul, Holiness of God. And no offense to Lucado. He has a lot of wonderful things that he had written, but Sproul's book really changed the way I thought about God. Really life transforming in many wonderful ways. So, how about you, Roger, influential theologian?
I think it's changed over the years, you know, from the seminary days when I was introduced to so many authors, not growing up in the church and not reading any real Christian books, until I was really saved. There were a lot of people that I read and influenced for a certain period of time. For example, there was a time when I got into the Puritans, and people like John Owen and others were so impactful in my thinking. And then I got into J.C. Ryle and a lot of his writings, just very practical and understanding and simple to understand. And then as I've grown and got into more of the counseling emphasis, the biblical counselors who are also theologians have really influenced me. Probably right now, David Powelson and his writing has most challenged my thinking to think through how scripture relates to real life and how all of scripture, not just those familiar passages, but taking scripture and showing how it connects to real life has really impacted me today.
That's great. Any particular one of Powelson's works that you would like to kind of emphasize or?
He wrote a book, Seeing with New Eyes, and that's one of his early books about how scripture connects to all of life. And then he's written on a lot of good topics, very topical, like good and angry. And that was challenging to think about righteous and unrighteous anger and to think of how scripture talks about anger. So I read that one recently and it's really helpful.
Nice.
So as we transition and get into our topic in this episode, one of the things I've been thinking about lately is just how we're hearing about sickness and death. As we know, this virus is going around, it's causing many people to become sick and many people are dying, and a lot of drastic actions have been taken to protect life, to prevent sickness from spreading, and to protect people from dying. And that's the general thing we hear in the media, right? Or what health officials are trying to do, what our politicians are trying to help during this time of pandemic. But I wanted to step back for a minute and think about it from our Christian perspective, and even look at the foundation of understanding sickness and death and how it came into the world, and then how we think about it in our response. So when you think about sickness and death and where it came from, its origins, help us to understand that from Scripture.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, we got to go back to the very beginning, and we look at the way God created. We look at the fact that God created and everything was good and mm-hmm. even very good. And we know that there was life there in the garden. And death hadn't entered until such time as mankind sinned against God. So we're going back to the fall, mm-hmm. and we see that the fall is what brings death, disease, destruction, all those things into this world that God had created. So from very early on, we see the effect of sin, mm-hmm. and death is the ultimate effect of sin.
Mm-hmm. And when we think about that, you know, I think it would be fair to say that it's normal in our life to expect that to occur for both believer and unbeliever, right?
Yeah, I mean, in a very strange sentence, but we say it all the time, death is a part of life. It's a weird way of putting it, but we say it, right? Death is a part of life. What we mean is that death comes to everybody. There is no person that has avoided death. Well, that's not exactly true, mm-hmm. but most people have not avoided death other than a few that we can see there in Scripture.
And I know in your ministry and in the many years you've served, you've had to do many funerals and you've had to comfort people in death. Is there a common way that you comfort the believers or, you know, over the years of thinking through death? At those pivotal times in life?
You know, in all honesty, it's a challenge when you're not certain about the person who has passed and where their spiritual, what their relationship with Christ was. When you're certain, in as certain as we can be as humans, there is a very clear comfort. We can look to the Scriptures and we can understand the promises of God for those who have trusted in Christ. And we know what those promises entail after death. We know that death is not the end. We know that in many regards, death is the beginning. It's this a transition to something so far greater than what we've imagined. And so when I know that the person who passed was a believer, and particularly when I know the family members are believers that I'm speaking to, we can really emphasize that aspect of things. We can, of course, you want to grieve with people too. So this, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to undermine their grief and lament like we've talked about in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when the opportunity presents itself, you want to get their focus onto glory and onto what is waiting for us in glory.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. You know, as I was reading over the past couple of years on this topic, it came up a couple of books. I don't know how it came across them, but they were on death, some new books that were written, and they were challenging because as I was reading them, it was challenging the way we believers should think about death who are still living and how death, and he used this phrase, one of the books, this was on Remembering Death by Matt McCullough, is he used this phrase, death awareness. And one of the points they were making is you can't truly live with wisdom unless you're thinking about your death and understanding the place that has in our lives. And one of the things they did, which I think was important, is they talked about how in our world, we're avoiding death at all costs. If you think about it, the entire health industry is built upon us being healthy not getting sick and living long lives, right? We want to take care. Now, there's a stewardship for all of us. We should do the best to take care of ourselves. But the goal is to be healthy and to have longevity. Yeah. And then we often think that sickness and death are to be avoided. Those are the enemies of life. And I think we can sense that even as believers, that we forget that it's part of being in a broken world.
Yep.
That it's not a judgment on us, you know, when we get sick.
Yeah. There's a tension, right? And even in scripture, we know that death is the enemy and it's the final enemy, the greatest enemy, so to speak, right? And at the same time, it's an enemy that's been defeated in Christ. So yes, should a Christian long for death? Is that the attitude we should have for death? I don't think that's found in scripture. Longing for death? No, a longing for heaven, a longing to be with it. And death gets us there. So in a sense, we live in a tension, don't we? We fight against this death, this fear that we might have of death, this unknown, so to speak, yet at the same time, we long for what lies beyond that because we know there is something beyond that that is so far greater than we've ever imagined. And he lies beyond that, right? Our Lord and the vision that we're going to have of him, that face-to-face encounter. But living today, there's this tension. And I think that we as Christians even experience that tension.
Yeah, that leads right into this quote I want to read you and get your thoughts on. And you haven't heard this before, so listen to this quote from the book. And this is what he says about death. He says, even if your life plays out in precisely the way you imagined for yourself in your wildest dreams, death will still await everything you have and destroy everything you accomplish. As long as we're consumed by the quest for more out of this life, Jesus's promises will always seem otherworldly to us. He doesn't offer more of what death will only steal from us in the end. He offers us righteousness, adoption, God-honoring purpose, eternal life, things that taste sweet to us only when death is a regular companion.
Wow. That is good. That is very good.
Convicting, because in a sense, he's getting at the fact that you know, and he says in other parts of the book, everything you have is going to be lost. It's going to be gone. All the accolades you have, all the accomplishments you have, all the sermons you preach, all the weddings you do, everything is going to have an end point. And when we forget the end point, we forget the promises we have in Christ, which are so important.
Yeah. And the way he put that was so really wonderful. I mean, it reminds me, of course, of what Jesus says, store up your treasures in heaven, right? Not here on this earth. And we might think of that only materialistically. Oh, because, you know, moth and rust will destroy it. And we're thinking, okay, don't put your hope in physical and material things. But like you said, it could be all sorts of things that will remain on this earth, our stature, our academic, whatever status, our professional status. I mean, all these things are going to be left behind there. Those are meaningless in glory. Mm-hmm. They're meaningless in this next life, which is our eternal life. And so thinking about death helps us to not think of this life as our permanent residence. It reminds us that we're sojourners, that we're exiles. You know, in a sense, we don't want to get too comfortable here because this is not where it's at. And that quote just kind of, that was a wonderful, convicting quote there. When we're thinking about this, so Roger, you know, you brought up the pandemic and we're thinking about how people are just in this panic. I don't want to get into statistics either, but I know that if you think about the percentage of people that are actually inflicted and dying from this particular disease, compare it to whether it's the Spanish flu of 1918 or, you know, the plague before, I mean, it's really nothing compared to those things, right? And I don't mean to belittle it, because of course death is death. We'll talk about that. But what do you think is the kind of key problem that you're seeing in the way the world around us is dealing with death? What are they missing?
I guess I would answer two different ways, one for the believer and the unbeliever, because I think we're both responding, of course. Mm-hmm. I think for the believer who is panicking and fearing, is they're allowing the world to conform them to the world's thinking instead of allowing God's word conform them to the truth. Because the world, what they're presenting is that death is abnormal, death is to be avoided, and we need to protect and save everybody's life. But the worldview falls apart because it doesn't take into account people are going to die from something. Mm-hmm. There's still going to be statistics every single day of death, that we're so focused on this specific death, a cause of death, but we're not talking about statistics. Like, I think about how come we don't hear about every day who died from heart attacks, who died from different cancers. We're not getting all those statistics, but the world has so focused us on one thing and caused a panic and fear in people's hearts that this is, you know, we need to avoid this at all costs, that I think has been so reinforced by media over and over and over that it's becoming part of us. And that's the scary part. Like, I was, you know, I think of just the fear of people these days. You know, I was outside walking at work, and I'm walking outside, and we're supposed to be okay outside, and there's a guy walking opposite me, and he's wearing a mask. And I'm like, okay, great, he's wearing a mask, he wants to protect himself. But then he jumps in the street as I'm walking by to avoid me on top of the mask. And I'm thinking, are we that fearful? Have we become that fearful? And I think it's because we're so reinforced with, you know, notifications on your phone. You just can't get away from hearing about the pandemic, either a news article, the radio, something. What do you think? Do you think that's fair assessment?
I think so. And as you were describing it, the way you were describing it, it made me think that longevity is the new Babel.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a way of our humanity, our, you know, humans thinking that they can become God, right? We're going to give ourselves eternal life, so to speak. We're gonna protect our life. We're gonna medicine is gonna heal us. We're gonna have the fountain of youth, and we're gonna live forever and ever and ever, or whatever, you know, they have in their minds. Whereas, really, how much longer are people living today than before? I mean, if you compare it to the early parts of human existence, we're not living longer. Yeah. But it's fascinating that there's this attempt to control, this attempt to, and there's a panic when they realize they can't. Yeah. And that's what's happening right now, is this panic because, oh my goodness, we cannot control this thing called death that's going to come and get all of us. And so now it's, let's control, you know, they're going to try it. Let's control everybody so that none of us die. Whereas it's just not, it's not a possibility. But this is where, honestly, I think, and this is what frustrates me about our people, our Christian people today, this is the opportune moment to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the time when people have death on their minds. You know, we always talk about it as pastors. You know, weddings are great to preach at, but honestly, a funeral is much better to preach at, not because I like the event. Obviously, we're saddened, our hearts are broken, we're grieving, but it's built in this perfect opportunity where everyone's thinking about death. And now I can offer to them the one thing that overcomes death.
Yeah.
And they're listening. And I think today during this pandemic, we have something similar. We have an opportunity, but we're too busy thinking of it wrongly too.
Yeah. But we want it to become normal again. We're so focused on getting back to our lives, our own comforts, yep. our own desires for what we want to do in life mm-hmm. that we don't. And we all fall into that trap. None of us are exempt to wanting to go back when we lose our focus upon what is most important. Yeah. I wrestle with that at times. I'm like, do I really want to just get back to life and thinking I'm going to be here forever? Or do I want to utilize the days God has given me right now? We don't know how many days we have. Nobody's That's guaranteed right. tomorrow. Are we utilizing whatever circumstances that God has put us in, as we talked about his sovereignty and providence previously? Yeah. Are we thinking that? And there's so much of a battle for our mind right now. We're so overwhelmed with this that if we're not allowing scripture to renew our thoughts daily,
that's right.
you know, not just the once a week we come to church, but daily, we're going to lose the battle and we're going to become more like the world's type of thinking without even having to do anything. It's just natural because of how our hearts are shaped by others around us.
Yeah. I was talking to one of the brothers today and we were, you know, he was kind of sharing that there's this thought in his mind, even that this might be the end times and, you know, and I thought, and we discussed this topic that, okay, let's say it were to be, let's say this is the end and the Lord is going to return.
Yeah.
Well, what should we be doing with our time now? Isn't there even more reason to stop ourselves worrying about death or thinking about correcting others', you know, view of the statistics or whatever? And get out there and share who Christ is and give people a vision of eternity and glory. I was thinking about it this way. For us as Christians, we have there's kind of two things that we have to be considering right now. Death for us and death for others. Death for us requires trust. We trust the Lord that whether we live or die, we belong to him and we know what promises we have for eternity. Death for others requires us to love. Mm-hmm. They're scared. We shouldn't belittle their fear, be flippant about it, tell them how bad their thinking is regarding the statistics, or, you know, tell them it's a plandemic, you know, we should, if you remember those missionaries, I can't remember, you know, Elizabeth Elliot's husband, mm-hmm. I can't remember his name now, but they had taken guns with them down to the mission field, but they had promised not to use them because they thought, or they would just shoot in the air to scare people. But they said, if we ever killed one of these people that we're going to minister to, we know where they're going to go. But if they killed us, we also know where we're going to go. So we should be thinking as missionaries right now. We want to love them while they're afraid of death. We should fear for their death too if they're not believers. Mm-hmm. But we should give them the antidote. We should give them Jesus as they're thinking about it.
I think, you know, there's two categories that you're bringing up in scripture of death. It's fearing the first death or the second death.
Yeah.
You know, in Hebrews 9:27, it says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." Mm-hmm. We know for believers, the first death is not to be feared, because we know that if we're saved, that we have eternal life. But for those who have no hope, they shouldn't fear just the physical death, but that second death, that judgment seat of Christ, is what truly should be feared. It's yes, COVID is taking people's lives, and that's really sad in many ways, but the true state of their soul is what just sat in our hearts. And people are even missing that. Even in a pandemic, people aren't, you know, focused on the spiritual side. It's just focused on, no, like you said, the longevity of life here and now.
Yeah.
And then even I think of this and kind of a rabbit trail, but we become heroes in a way of saving other people's lives. Like, we're now the ones who are in control of protecting and preserving other people's lives by our actions, as if we now are kind of mini gods and have control over how it's going to affect others. Now, we can be haphazard, of course, but being careful isn't guaranteeing that something is going to occur. We don't have that power.
That's right. And yeah, like you keep repeating, we're all going to face death. We really can't avoid it. What do they say? Death and taxes are you know, guaranteed.
Yes. And even after death, you pay taxes on your death.
Oh man, that's a whole different episode. But I know this is not the happiest quote, but I think I'm going to give the John Bunyan quote here.
Okay.
Because I think it's applicable to that last part that we were just talking about. Mm. Bunyan says this. He says, "O sinner, what a condition wilt thou fall into when thou departest this world? If thou depart unconverted, right? If you depart without Christ, thou hadst better have been smothered the first hour thou wast born." That's a harsh statement. But when you understand, so when you understand the stakes, this is why Jesus said, you know, don't be afraid of men who can kill the body.
Yeah.
Be afraid of the one who could throw both body and soul into hell. You know, we as Christians, if we show that we're afraid of this death, if we're in such a panic, why would anyone believe us about the next death? Which we're saying we're not afraid of because we have the gospel. This is what we need to be proclaiming to them. Hey, this first death, we shouldn't be afraid of, but there is that second death.
Yeah.
And there's also a way out of that second death. Come, let's talk. Let me share with you who Jesus is.
Yeah, I'll follow up with a quote, just one other that I've written down that I think is very helpful too, and this is for the believer, is he says, "We have no reason to hide from the truth about death and all its ugliness. If death is not a problem, Jesus won't be much of a solution. The more deeply we feel death sting, the more consciously we will feel the gospel's healing power. The more carefully we number our days, the more joyfully we'll hear that death's days are numbered too. And the more we allow ourselves to grieve the separations death brings to our lives, the more fully we will long for the world in which he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore." Revelation 21:4 is the reference to that verse.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is a great topic to think about because I think it's on the minds of everyone around us daily, and a lot to cover on this topic. But as we get to the end of this episode, what's one thing, your one takeaway from our topic today?
Yeah, that initial quote, so good, so important to if you are not thinking about death, you know, thinking about death helps to really orient your heart and mind and life around the things that are lasting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I will certainly take home with me. That quote really was a helpful way of clarifying that. Something I definitely want to be thinking about some more, in all honesty, is how do we help those who are still afraid of the first death, how do we help them to see, and this is a weird way of putting it, but to see that the second death is far scarier, and that there's an answer, and there's an answer.
Good.
What about you? Takeaway and something to think about?
Is what you said. I'll quote you because I think it was really helpful. Longevity is our new Babel. That's good. I hadn't thought about that. That's really good.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast, and you can find us on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, and we'll hope you will subscribe and join us next time.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodnstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff, www.drsproul.org.